celebrate our Independence Day.
Podcast. My name is Ant.
Chris.
This is Panda.
And welcome to a very special podcast episode for you guys. This is 4th of July.
No. This is when everybody else in the podcast realm is taking a holiday. But here's your trio from the Average Podcast Gang doing it for you guys.
I know, I got a barbecue waiting for me outside right now. And a shitload of beer. Tub full of beer right now.
Hashtag no days off.
Hashtag no days off.
While you're grilling to the sound of our voices, you can thank us later.
Yeah, that's right. Because you're probably not going to hear this episode until tomorrow because you're going to be shit-faced all day today. Let's go ahead and just give a cheers right now because you already know what's happening. Oh, yeah. So, today we're just doing our little discussion on what 4th of July means to us as Americans and winning our independence from England. And signing that beautiful piece of document called the Declaration of Independence. Such a magnificent, magnificent document. So, we'd like to just kind of go around the room, just kind of see what independence, like, just Independence Day means to each of us. Chris, you want to go ahead and start off with us? What does 4th of July mean to you?
4th of July is... I don't talk about it much to anybody. I don't really show much of my patriotic side or anything that it really means. Because I usually, when I find something important, it's usually more personal to me, and I usually don't really share it too often. But if I can share a little excerpt out of it was a post that somebody actually made on Facebook, and it resonated the most with me because. Well, 4th of July, obviously, it's Independence Day from America, it's a great nation, it afforded me so many opportunities and still has, that being Mexican-American, you know, you still have all the roots and the pride from, you know, your Mexican side, then you also have all the, you know, the American patriotic side and everything like that. So if I could just read this out real quick and it... just everybody, maybe, you know, whether or not they speak Spanish, hopefully do a Google Translate as I read this out, and maybe it'll translate it right.
I need a Google Translate for this one. I'll explain why in a minute.
I'll read it out, just so it kind of explains how I kind of feel being Mexican-American and still feeling, you know, part of this nation. So, like, being Mexican-American, naces y creces en los Estados Unidos con sangre mexicana. Amas la banda, el mariachi, los tamales, las tradiciones mexicanas y la vida en el pueblo. But you also love rap, hamburgers, the 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and life here in the USA. Nuestro español no es perfecto, and neither is our English. Nos critican por querer a Estados Unidos and put us down for being too Mexican. Estamos entre dos mundos porque no somos ni de aquí ni de allá. Somos mexicanos americanos involucrados en un conflicto constante de identidad por amor y nuestras dos culturas.
Wow, I have no idea what you just said. I understood the hamburger part and all the other ones.
Because it was in English, you're a fucking dick.
Yeah, I know. I don't speak Spanish. Sorry, guys.
Essentially, because it's like, you know, you're Mexican-American, and I consider myself American first and then Mexican, obviously, because, you know, I was born here.
So. Right, right.
I mean, regardless of the fact, I mean, I'm American by all definition, but there's still a lot of the Mexican pride and Mexican heritage and roots that I hold very dearly, so don't really lose touch of that. And that's, you know, 4th of July means to me being still proud of both, you know what I mean? It might not be Mexican Independence Day that I ever celebrated or anything like that, but 4th of July is just one of those, you know, it's that reminder that, you know, this country was like several, like, 100 years ago that they had this great idea and still has been a pretty great idea to this day.
Truly. Truly, truly. Panda, want
to
go next?
So what 4th of July means to me? Well, pretty much piggybacking off of what Chris says, you know, born here, raised here, south of the border. So as far as like as how in depth most people go, like for us, it was usually just go to the lake, cook out, hang out with family. And eventually it evolved into like being old enough to buy fireworks and stuff like that and getting into those endeavors.
Right, right.
Anyway, historically, it was just a day for us to remember about, you know, all the people that died.
Mm-hmm.
For, as you know, as much as many people would like to say, oh, maybe we're not free, this and that, but, you know, people died to give us somewhat the amount of freedom we got. And just a day to sit back, reminisce, be appreciative about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro. You don't have to cry.
Oh, man. I'm tearing up
right
now, man.
You're getting pretty deep right now. It's only like a couple minutes.
I'm in my feelings right now, man. I feel like a Drake song coming on. A little Champagne Poppy going on. Well, I mean, as you know, I am half white. You know, I don't speak Spanish. I love to. I understand a little bit, but not too much. So, I mean, it's hard for me to grasp the whole Mexican heritage, especially when I can't really understand the language. But, I mean, hell, I listen to corridos. I listen to, you know, any kind of type of Mexican music. So I do relate to the Mexican heritage on a certain level. Anyone who looks at me, you'll see, like, oh, he's Mexican. I'm like, yeah, but I can't speak Spanish. And I don't like avocados, so sue me. But when I think of 4th of July, I usually think of just the sacrifices that those men made to give this nation what it actually is, like to just the opportunity for so many numerous generations that came after them to give them the right to have the freedom from any sort of oppression or persecution that they were facing from another country, no taxation without representation, the whole, you know, just something off of that just springboarded us into having just a great, great nation, and eternally grateful for the opportunity to be able to sit down with family, to have a, you know, not to be held at some sort of, like, you know, like I said, persecution, or like without, you know, be able to do what I want to do, like just the freedom to have what I want to do,
being able to do this podcast, period.
Being able to do the podcast, you know, and not having some sort of like authoritarian policies thrown on me. It's like, oh, you can't do this, can't do that, you know. And it's just amazing to be an American today. Amazing. So, but yeah. And all the cookout and fireworks and drinking is pretty good too.
Yeah.
That came afterwards.
You can't forget the fajitas.
Yeah, and then you can't forget the fajitas and tortillas and all that other stuff. So that comes with it. That comes with territory too. A little quick fact about fireworks, though, that I was reading. I mean, obviously, everyone knows that all fireworks pretty much come from China, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like kind of hypocritical when you want to pop fireworks, and I'm like, oh shit, all this shit comes from China. Oh no. But I don't know. A little nugget I found when I was researching some stuff about, you know, fun facts about 4th of July. So we're gonna go back around the room again, and Chris, do you have a favorite, like, 4th of July moment that stands out to you from your childhood or something like that?
I was thinking about that while you were talking. I've never had a specific moment, but I remember, there was one moment that I could have sworn it was on the 4th of July, but I'm not sure. And it was, I had been like maybe 7 years old, I think it was. And there was an air show at Love Field. That was Love Field?
Right.
And I just remember sitting out, and it was crowded. It was, I don't even remember, I think it was on Mockingbird or something like that. And it was behind the airbase, but you could see all the planes and stuff flipping around and stuff like that. I just remember being out there with my parents and my, I think it was all of us, we're out there, my brothers and my sister, just watching the planes fly by and stuff like that. And I still remember that to this day, because I got bit up by a bunch of ants and shit, and I was like, just stay inside the car, just watching the planes and shit fall around.
Right. Panda, you got a favorite memory?
not favorite memory, but like, I guess, well, I mean, because all of them are basically the same, man. Family gets together, we do the damn thing, eat, cook out, fireworks. But one time, we were popping fireworks. It was way, maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking cops rolled up on us.
Oh, shit.
And in Dallas, we're not allowed to do that, apparently.
Yeah, it's frowned upon.
Yeah, it's frowned upon in Dallas. It doesn't stop people from doing it, but...
Hell no, it doesn't
stop. But it does.
And then our house is like a quarter house. So, you know, they were riding up that main street. And
yeah.
We're in the fucking middle of the street, lighting shit up. Me, my cousins from across the street, neighbors, you know, further down that street.
Yeah.
But since we were on that corner...
Y'all were just the ones that got. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, the cop was... So, cop was pretty cool, because I used to work at Panda back then, and the cop remembered me, and I always...
Oh, you gave him free teriyaki chicken?
I always discount, like, firefighters and police... police officers that would come eat at Panda, sue me, whatever. That was a me thing. I don't know if anybody else did it, but that was a me thing.
Speaking of somebody who didn't get a discount, I'm just saying that's awesome. That's cool that you do that.
I mean, they get a certain percentage, but I would like just be like, I just have it, bro.
Believe it or not, though, that like shit like that goes a long way.
And it went a long way that night because that cop remembered me. He's like, hey, aren't you the manager of Panda? I was like, yeah. He's like, bro. He's like, I'm supposed to take you to jail.
Oh, no.
I was like, nah, man, do what you gotta do. I know we were in the room. My dad was drunk. He was, like, screaming at the cop and shit. I was like, shut the fuck up, you drunk Mexican.
Oh, no.
Like, we're the wrong, bro. Like, chill. Like, you're not making this scenario easier. And the guy's all like, look, man, just tell your pops to go inside. Just give me the fireworks and we'll leave. And I was like, yeah, dude, that works. Here's all the fireworks. Yeah. And that was it.
If they gotta do something, that's the best part of it, I guess, is the not having to do to. I don't take anybody's shit, and I don't give anybody tickets. I'm just like, people put it up. That's all it is. Well, the thing about where I work, though, is there's a lot of area where you just drive up the road,
mm-hmm.
and usually where you buy the fireworks, you can pop them.
Right.
So, fucking pop them there, you know what I mean? Like, just stay there instead of having to do them in town.
Can you drink over there?
Where you pop them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, I should start going over there. Shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of places that, as long as you buy them there, you can.
I definitely need to go to that undisclosed location and do that.
I'll fill you in on this podcast later.
Yeah, after the podcast is done.
That was basically the memory. It wasn't like it was a funny memory. Like,
yeah, yeah.
At that point in time, I was at Panda. The cop that used to go there a lot, he remembered me. Like civilian clothes, no Panda uniform or anything.
That's pretty cool.
Like, he's the guy that. Like, lets me have my lunch when I go. I was like, oh, yeah, what's up? And that was it.
That's pretty legit.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, moral of the story, give police officers free stuff.
Oh, no.
And you won't go to jail. You can't go to jail.
Some of them, you gotta see what kind of glasses they're wearing that day.
I mean, basically, moral of the story, like...
They're wearing the black.
I paid it forward at that... point in time, and then he paid it back to me.
Right.
If they were in the flak jacket Oakleys, you're going to jail.
Yeah,
if they were in the gas can Oakley sunglasses, you'll just get a ticket.
There's levels to it.
There's levels to it. You see the aviators come out, you get a warning. So slow down.
Know your glasses, people. Please. One of my favorite moments that I remember from 4th of July, my parents used to have this place out in Coffin County. Little like ranch / farm housing, whatever, but we had a big piece of land out there, and we used to pop fireworks by the lake that we used to have on the property. And all the times that we went out there, I never really got to pop fireworks on my own. I just kind of sit back and watch them. So one year, my brother-in-law and my brother were like, yeah, come over here, light some fireworks with us, you know, whatever, we're just popping them off. Okay. So I was like, okay, cool, hell yeah, I'm gonna do it, hell yeah. So we were popping the ones that were it almost like a kind of a mortar. I don't know if you remember those.
May or may not have some in my house.
They're like it's like a huge cylinder that you put on the ground.
Yeah.
You set
artillery shells.
Yeah, artillery shells. Yeah, whatever. So you light it up with a long ass fuse, light it up, drop it in there, and then take off running like hell. Well, my dumbass did is that two times, you know, I popped them off and like they went perfect. Everything was cool, whatnot, right? Well, where we were popping them off at, it was kind of on top of a hill, almost. So when I had dropped the one in there, I tripped. So what happened was I dropped it in there, and I guess it fell a certain way into the tube to where it actually fell over to the side.
Yeah.
So it was facing the ground, and I was like, "Oh shit!" So as soon as I took off running, I literally just lunged and like just took cover, and I was like, "Get down!
Get down!
Get to the chopper!
Get to the chopper!"
And I mean, if anybody knows what you know, the commercial fireworks are like, you know, they're huge, huge in the sky, right?
Huge.
Just picture that on the fucking ground. This thing just goes off, boom. And you could just see just sparks go everywhere. Like, at least, I don't know, 20, 30 feet in front of you. It was massive. After that, I never got pop fireworks ever again at the farm. Got fucked up. So, but it was cool because it was my first time. So, I don't know. It was my first and last time. But as I got older, I started doing that. And it was all right. So, yeah, that was my favorite moment. I did have a run-in with the cops one time about that. It wasn't me, though. It was my my brother and...
It still amazes me that you have family. I feel like you're an only child.
No, that's the longest. When I first met him, I thought he was an only child.
I thought he was only.
And he was like my brother. I'm like brother. I was thinking little brother. And he was like 30 something years old. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
I'm the baby.
I'm the baby. Yeah.
The baby.
What?
I was the reverse prodigy child. Never had call back to our death anxiety. Call back to our death anxiety podcast. Yeah, no, that was my favorite moment. Now, as always, there's always a certain movie that just gets you so pumped up as an American. And you just like, every time you watch that movie, you're just like, damn. Wow, that was amazing. Like, I love that movie because it makes me feel so patriotic, you know, in anything that I do. Chris, I know you have a favorite movie that you want to talk about.
I got two actually.
Keep in mind that we really try to boil down this list to our top one, two favorite movies, and my top one, top two could easily go one or two. It doesn't matter, but it was a hard list to do with all of us. So
not for me.
Not for you.
Y'all gonna love my suggestion.
I bet. We might make you go last. I don't know. We're gonna see. But no. Go ahead, Chris. Talk us out.
Well, the first movie that I liked a lot was The Patriot.
Patriot. God damn it.
Well, yeah. Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
And that was the root of all, like, you know, patriotism right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about, you know, Revolutionary Wars, like wars that were like literally trying to gain independence from Britain, England, and everything. So it was like every I don't think there was a single part. Oh, you know what? The one phrase that I still remember to this day because I'm an avid fan of handguns and shooting sports and stuff like that.
What's that phrase?
And, where he's with in that little wooded area, he's trying to save his oldest son because they're about to
aim
take him off.
Aim small, miss
small. Yeah, he's like,
hell yeah.
He's like, you say, aim small, miss small.
That's
small,
damn
small.
Right, baby. Damn so, right.
You aim small, you miss small.
Yep.
That's probably one of the few phrases in that whole movie that I still remember to this day.
Not the tomahawk killing scene?
That was in there. That was
the
same scene. Like,
yeah,
right,
he's a tomahawk, bro.
Don't you have a tomahawk?
Yeah, I do. Tomahawk.
Yeah, Anthony's big on throwing blades and shit.
I'm a big knife guy.
He's a big knife guy.
We'll do a... I'll talk about knives here and there.
Forged and Fire.
I love those shows, man. I
love those shows too. But The Patriot, yeah, that was, and then the Saving Private Ryan. You can't deny that very first scene where they're storming the beach of Normandy, like D-Day. That was probably the most epic. Like, I think that was probably the most epic portrayal of like war in and of itself. Like, realizing, like, I mean, think about it, like, you got Nazi Germany trying to take over the whole world.
Right.
And, you know, you have several powers trying to stop these guys from doing it, and one of their strongholds was there, so, like, you imagine being one of those guys in those boats, and everybody's just telling you, like, all your commanding officers are telling you, you guys are gonna go in there, and a lot of you are gonna fucking die.
Yeah.
So just try not to get hit.
I mean, you're talking about kids. You're talking about
these kids.
These
guys
are kids.
Like,
just go back to the whole generation that came before the baby boomers generation. Or not the baby boomers generation.
That was baby boomer generation.
Just go back to that whole generation of just like... I mean, they pretty much knew that they were going in there and they were going to die.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But you're still going in there just facing the odds and just
Try not to get hit.
It was just crazy. A interesting fact about that director,
Steven Spielberg.
He actually consulted with a couple of World War II historians on that movie, and a lot of the World War II historians that came out after that movie said, he's like, you know what? It was a pretty good portrayal of that movie, but it still was a lot more bloodier than what he had on that first beach scene. Like, it was a shit ton more bloodier than on that beach
scene. I imagine it, because, I mean, you're thinking about it, like, it's just rounds of bombs going off everywhere, and it's just, you know, it was, I mean, think about it, Hollywood, you know, you're not using real bullets.
Yeah.
So there's not going to be, like, the same, you know, it's only so much as you can make look realistic without it being real.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That was me.
That was you. All right, Panda.
You said I was going
to
go last?
Nah. You're going to go next. So let's go for it.
All right. I got to let the whistle real quick.
Okay.
All right, so my favorite patriotic movie is Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, my fucking God. Are you serious?
Is that the Michael Cera movie?
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
That's all he watches is
Michael Cera movies.
He plays the same character in every movie.
He does. He freaking does.
Anybody have a juice break? You in the back?
I guess I don't know. I don't really watch films like this, but Dear John was a good one, but it wasn't like 4th of July kind of. It was just like military.
Just military war movie kind of type of things.
Like, yeah, bro. That movie was a fucking tearjerker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all seen it, but Dear John is fucking amazing.
I never saw it.
Channing Tatum, bro.
Oh, God.
And I guess
Channing Tate, yum.
And then I guess anything after that will be like the Rambo series.
The Rambo series?
Yeah. Oh, they're making a final. Final Blood.
Yeah,
Final Blood. Yeah, cartels. He's taking on the cartels.
Oh, shit.
That man can do no wrong.
Yeah, he's taking on the cartels in this last one.
But I think out of the Rambo movies, my favorite one is probably the first one.
First Blood. I like First Blood because it kind of...
It sucks, bro, because it's like he comes back to the States looking for his friends. Sorry if nobody's seen it, but I mean, this movie's fucking old.
If you haven't seen Rambo 1 by now, just... I don't know. What are you doing with your life
right
now?
Like, he comes back, his friend dies.
Not everybody thinks those movies, like the mm-hmm. hyped up movies from that time frame is the shit. Don't get me wrong. I love Rambo.
It's vintage.
But I'm probably gonna have some people hate on me for saying this, but I fucking hate Top Gun. Top Gun fucking sucks.
Oh, I hate Top Gun too.
Top Gun fucking sucks.
Who the fuck is Goose?
What the fuck is Top Gun?
Top Gun is exactly. One of those, like, everybody, oh my God, Top Gun this, Top Gun that.
I never liked Top Gun at all.
I watched 20 minutes of it, and I was like, okay, the fighting, you know, in the beginning, they do like a little fighter jet scene thing, and that was kind of cool, but after that, I was just like, yeah. Lame.
I said Scott Pilgrim.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But like Rambo, like dude fucking aimlessly roaming. He goes to this little town. No offense, but like I guess back in the day a lot of people were like assholes. And he ran into like
a lot of people were protesting the Vietnam War.
So he ran into this one like bad cop who's like, I don't want you in my town. Scenes with the cops where they're abusing him or stuff like that are hitting him. And this one cop...
You're talking about Dear John or Scott Pilgrim? Because I'm confused.
I'm talking about Rambo.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what
where the
hell?
He threw out Scott Pilgrim
Rambo.
As a
okay,
joke.
Okay,
yeah.
Where they're cleaning him up with the water hose and stuff like that. It's like, come on, bro. This dude was like a war vet.
Yeah, war hero.
He just wanted...
Well, they took off his shirt and he saw the
food.
Scars
yeah,
and all
like,
that. Yeah.
I don't know. And then at the end of the movie, he's all like... You know, he died, this died, he's like,
when he broke down?
Yeah, he's like, I just wanted some food. And then he just kept on pushing me, and I was like, come on, bro. We have to treat our vets better. Like, I know it was just a movie, but like...
Well, a lot of the movies that get put out, they portray a lot of, like, the vet, a lot of them, like, the vet life, the way they're treated when they get back, a lot of them pretty accurately.
Like, it's just like, come on,
like Chris Kyle came back from his American Sniper movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty accurate, like the way he talks about it, like blood pressure so high all the time and shit.
That was another movie that was good. That was on my list, but it didn't make my top two.
All right, that's it, bro. That's enough jokes for Scott Pilgrim. You're next.
Thank God. Well, my number one could easily be my number two, and my number two could easily be my number one. So I'm just gonna go with my gut feeling on this.
Scott Pilgrim?
No. It might become a. It's not really a huge war movie, but just the sense that it kind of portrays today and kind of portrayed back then when America was still kind of forming. Gangs of New York. Heard of it?
I've seen it.
Okay, Gangs of New York, Daniel Day-Lewis, Leonardo DiCaprio. Dude, you got
should have won an Oscar for that. He still couldn't win an Oscar,
bro. I was like, what the what do you have to do for my boy Leo to get a fucking Oscar?
He had one.
He had
to practically star himself and hide in a fucking bear
hide,
suit
hide,
and fucking
hide a damn eat a damn buffalo.
Yeah, go through crazy winter conditions just to win a goddamn Oscar.
Yeah.
And speaking a raspy ass voice for, and you know, whenever you act, they make you redo scene after scene after
right,
scene.
Right. Right.
So could you imagine how his voice actually sounded after he had like the whole fucking time, like
yeah.
30 scenes on it every day? That sucked.
Right. But the reason I like the Gangs of New York movie, I mean, it really portrayed the coming of age of, like, you know, people immigrating to America, you know, being accepted into the, you know, the civilization that we had over here. And yeah, there was some hard times coming over here and integrating with our system, you know, but there was so many, you know, the whole other thing that I liked about it was the whole politician aspect of it. Is that politics were huge even back then. I mean, politics were, like, engraved into everything, and especially in today, obviously.
Well, the country was all based off politics.
Yeah, yeah. So you had people like, okay, well, we're going to help you out, but you're going to do us a favor, you know, in the next coming election, or you're going to help us do something else later on, whatever. Yeah. So I like that movie, especially all the action scenes and... Especially the use of knives in that movie was awesome.
I knew that's why you liked this.
But man,
hell,
I mean, there's just the amount of like.
You didn't like the nice classic Kangol hats with the suits and everybody going.
Dude, the top hat, and then the fight scenes and all that shit, and just the bar scene. Yeah, the hatches, the bar. That whole movie was like, you couldn't tell me that there was a bad scene in that entire fucking movie, because that movie was awesome. Even the one of the most best parts I liked of that movie, the scene was. Was when Bill, the Daniel Day-Lewis actor, he was in his butcher shop, and he was cooking him a steak. The politician came in there and asked him, like, you know, you can't go off and kill, you know, a politician like this. He's like, you're destroying America like this. Like, what, my America or your America? You know, just like, I'm not going to play a part in your type of America. This is my America. I'm just like, he had his own views. He had his own, like, he believed everything that he was doing was right. And when you have two powerhouse ideologies like that, and they just clash, like the Leo character and the Daniel Day-Lewis character, and clash, is like, it's crazy. But it was a real good movie. My second movie would have to be, I gotta go with what you heard in our fucking intro, Independence Day. You can't say Aliens. You can't have Aliens and not think of Will Smith. And Aliens single-handedly. Aliens and Jeff Goldblum single-handedly defending our race. Fucking Jeff Goldblum.
Hey, Bill Pullman went in there and started getting down with the rest of them.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Like, man, you had our president going in there fighting, get on the
Eagle
fucking...
Eagle 1, Fox 2.
Eagle 1, Fox 2. Eagle 1, F7, Fox 2. Dude, that whole thing was just... I fucking love that movie, too. Night 1, Fox 2. Oh, man, that was great. But yeah, those were our top, you know, couple movies, four movies we like. As always, you got anything else you want to add to this? This is where we're going to be a real short podcast, because, like I said, we are trying to go out and have a good barbecue with everybody. So we need to drink it up and celebrate with everyone else who's off today, even though you guys probably listen on a Friday, but that's all good. Or, I mean, I don't know, we got a couple listeners in Australia now, in Sweden.
Some Aussies.
We got some Aussies.
No,
we got some people from the
down under. No, I fancy you Australians. I know some of you guys hate that term, but appreciate the Australian demographic. And also my Brits. Power to y'all down with Liverpool. What's up, United fans?
Oh, my God.
One day I'll probably go down to Bondi Inc. and get a tattoo.
Tattoo? You're having a laugh, mate. You're having a laugh at my expense, mate.
Go to Bondi Beach.
Bondi
no, there's
Beach.
A show called Bondi Inc.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like it's Australia. And they say, they don't say tattoos, they say tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Tattoo artists. So I see that beach, I'm just like, man, one day.
You know my favorite athlete to come out of Australia is?
Who?
I don't even know if he's actually from Australia. He might be born here. Okay. But he's Aussie, though. Jason Belmonte.
He's Australian-American or whatever?
He's Australian-American, yeah. His name is Jason Belmonte.
No clue who that is.
You know who he is?
No clue who that is.
He's like, not only, he's like the greatest bowler of all time, besides Pete Webb. Two-handed bowling, he's the one who pretty much made it a household thing. Two-handed bowling? No?
Two-handed bowling.
Oh, I gotta show you a video after the podcast.
So you're saying you squat down?
No. He has his own like little technique that he uses. I use that when I go bowling. He has this technique where he does like he says more spin, more power, double the fun. When he puts the spin on the bowling ball. I gotta show you a video. Anyways, guys, like I said, we're gonna go out and celebrate. You guys keep it safe, stay responsible, love each other. Panning, got any closing arguments? Closing statements?
I was trying to involve my machoke and I fucked up. I wasted my machoke candy.
Oh my god. Anyways, well, this has been a presentation of Your Irish Podcast. Just kidding, this is Your Irish Podcast. A couple dudes that just want to talk some stuff. And we'll see you next time, guys. Deuce!